The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 184. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brian Manjoma.
Yo.
Brett Murdoch.
Hey, everybody.
Adam Vale.
Sucker Free Sunday.
And he is back, people, Mr. Chris Seeley.
Hey, good to be back, everyone.
Awesome, 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 man. All right, so Chris, you haven't been with us for a few weeks, actually. Yeah. So let the people know how things have been going with your throat.
It's good. I mean, the first week was harsh. Like, I wasn't eating solid food. They took out my tonsils and scraped my throat, and they straightened my nose. So, I mean, can imagine I'm like strapped up here with stuff like gauze in my face because I'm bleeding all the time and just eating applesauce and popsicles for like a few days.
So, damn, man. They had you eating like RoboCop, man.
Yeah, you know, and that's all you can eat, though. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I'm feeling better now, so that's good. And I'm sleeping good, even with all that pain from the surgery. I was still sleeping better than I was before.
Yeah, because that was the reason you like needed to have this done, right? Because your sleeping was all fucked up and everything.
Yeah, my tonsils were so swollen I had obstructive sleep apnea. So Damn. Removing them pretty much fixed it.
Yeah, that's good, man. All right, so you're back here to talk some shit with us. But, you know, don't overdo if you don't need to, you know?
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, man. So, no need for any embellishment here. So let's get into it, man. First up, Mr. Mark Wenick, who is back. So his first question is, those of you who review, do you ever get burned out from similar types of games, specifically if they come out back to back? All right, before we get into it, because before a number of us did game reviews, am I the only one that does game reviews on here now? I think I am.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess this
that just stressed me out. I just couldn't deal with it.
Yeah. Because Brian used to write back in the day. Manny used to. Chris did some stuff. All right. So yeah, just me. No. Okay. Here's the thing. I pretty much select what games I want to review. So I haven't really run into that situation. I did have not a similar one, but I had something. I guess you could kind of consider it the same in the case of, like, I had a bunch of games I didn't want to review back to back, you know, but for the most part these days I get to review shit I want. And if I don't want to play some open world game, I don't have to play it. You know what I'm saying? So like the last games I've reviewed, they're all Sony games too, actually. And they're all very different from one another. God of War is different from Shadow Colossus and is different from Detroit, which your boy is actually been playing. But I haven't really... I did get burnout from playing too many of those fucking games, though. As I've talked about in the past. I think it was 2015. It was like open world season. It just got me burnt the fuck out. I'm glad I didn't have to review a lot of those games. I just played them just, you know, because I wanted to play them, you know. But no real burnout because I get to choose what I want. But it's a good question, though. And his next question, we're not going to have this in here. He asks us what our favorite developer team is. We've answered that before, friend. So, just check out that episode, you know? And so we'll move on here to, G Megaforce. And his first question is very interesting. This is also not going to be in there, Carlos, so don't mark it in there. Hold on, make sure. I get paranoid. I'm like, is everybody unmuted here? All right. His first question is, did you guys get the April NPD yet? Bro, we don't have any special access to NPDs. We get them just like everybody else. And yeah, they will be posted on April 20th, Tuesday, basically. They're going to be on Tuesday. Matt Piscatella, who actually does the NPDs, he said that himself on Twitter. So yes, wait till Tuesday, but just know for the future, we at Throwdown do not get special access to NPDs. That's just keep that in mind, you know, because usually MPDs drop on Thursdays. Now they've been dropping on Tuesday of like the second to last week. Usually they're like the Thursday of the second week. It's been really weird, you know. Anyway, let's get into his second question. All right. Should Microsoft fire Phil Spencer and hire someone from Sony, since Kratos pretty much destroyed the almighty Xbox One as if it was Zeus himself? Should Microsoft just fire Phil and allow Sony to lend one of their higher ups to turn the Xbox gaming division for Microsoft?
Because God of War is God of War. You know, who thought it wasn't going to sell?
My thing is, why would, okay, I don't even know how to get started. Why would somebody from Sony just decide, I'm going to go over to Microsoft? I don't, like, basically Microsoft isn't going to go, hey, our games suck now, we're going to get somebody from Sony. How do you, like, what kind of offer do you need to make those guys to even make them consider jumping ship? You know what I'm saying? Like, it isn't well, like, oh, we're going to
get paid big bucks. You know what I mean? There's always other heads who's like, yo, I came up with that idea and Joe Schmo up top ripped me off. You know what? I want out. I want to go do something else. There's always that type.
Yeah, and I understand that, but it just seemed like maybe I'm reading the question wrong, but it's like, it seems like Microsoft be like, yeah, we don't, you know, this thing sucks. Let's pick that guy from Sony. It doesn't really work like that. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, and the other thing is, you know, we'll get more into it now. What is up with everybody saying, oh, Phil Spencer needs to be fired? Phil Spencer needs to be fired. I don't think he needs to be fired. You know,
I don't think so either, man.
I think Phil Spencer is doing a good job. He's doing he's doing the best with what he can with the dumpster fire he inherited.
He's still cleaning up. He's still playing cleanup.
How long are we going to give him that excuse, though? I'm not saying that
until all the projects that were pending are done and they're all new ones that's under him.
And when will that be?
Hopefully, it's what's happening now. Probably the beginning. We'll find out at E3 when he starts talking about it.
Whenever Scaledown launches.
I'm trying to put a context to this question.
Like, yeah, no. It's a good question. Yeah, it's a good question.
When he comes out and says, all right, these are our new projects, let's say at E3 next month, he says, these are our new projects. And then a year later, if we see they're all crap, then that's all him. That's it.
Because how long has he been in now?
What is it, like 2 years now?
Yeah, about 2 years.
I think 2 years.
And yeah, that's not even enough time to develop a game. Yeah.
And that's why he canceled Scalebound and some other ones, because he went in and said, hey, wait a minute, this is not up to par. There was all these other projects too that he said it was just scrapped right there on the table. He's like, nope. So
if he doesn't make a good showing at this E3, do we give him until the next E3, or is this when, you know, his game should be being announced?
I'm going into next.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah,
by not the way, this 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah,
four. I think 4 years is fair. Yeah, 4 years is fair because that's how long it takes to develop a good game.
Oh no! He's been the lead. March 2014.
Damn.
That's enough time to really actually start to criticize, I think.
But we have to see which ones he approved.
Ones that he gave the green light. You should have some shit like you should. Okay, here's the thing: if you take over a company. Yeah, in essence, you're cleaning up, but you don't get until, you know, everything is turned around. You know, if I took over a tattoo shop tomorrow, I wouldn't be judged on, you know, 5 years from now when there's been, you know, an almost full client turnover. I would be judged on the interim as well.
All right, so then you give him an A because he gave his Cuphead.
And
everybody got it. Hey, well, Brett, what about you? What about your favorite right now, man? Sea of Thieves, man. Sea of Thieves came out under him. You know,
yeah,
I enjoy Sea of Thieves. I'm not talking shit. I'm just trying to define. You know, is 4 years long enough for somebody to be responsible for the stuff that comes out now? And that changes the question. Like, yeah, if he's not announcing shit at E3, then this is when his shit should be being announced at E3. I think.
Yeah, here's the thing. A little caveat. I was mistaken. I thought he's been running this shit for 2 years. 4 years, I kind of understand why people are beefing now. I kind of understand now. And I'm like, yo, let this man do his work. But it's like, he's been working for 4 years. I have to change my whole perspective on this thing. But at the same time, maybe the dumpster fire was so big, he's still cleaning up the mess. You know, actually, if you think about it, we would keep talking about how the Xbox's reputation has been ruined since day one. Maybe he can't do anything at this point. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting because the Xbox One launched in 2013, right?
Yes.
November. So essentially everything that the Xbox, all the shit, the baggage that Xbox launched with was in on his hands for the most part. But the couple of months after the release of the Xbox One, so November 2013 was the launch of the Xbox. March 2014 was when Phil Spencer became the head of Xbox. That's a couple of months after its launch. So other than the launch mess that occurred with Xbox, is it fair to say that like all the misgivings of the Xbox are attributed to him now?
Damn.
And now he's the president. So remember, he's jumped a spot.
Yeah, he's up the rung now. Like
he's doing two roles, because I thought somebody was going to replace his role, and I was like, no, he's doing both.
Because I'm the same. Like I mean, every time I think of Phil Spencer, I'm like, he's trying to right the wrongs that Don Matrick did. But I'm like, I've been saying this for a couple of years now. So I don't know
You know why we say this? Because that's what he says when he does these interviews. He was like, I was recently in Japan, and I was talking to our partners there, and I was recently doing a tour of other studios, seeing projects that we were working on. He kept saying that during the whole scale bound.
It's like a president. They blame the previous president for a shitty economy. So it's like, give me a buffer so I can do shit. And it's like, they all give the same excuse. So I'm like, when do we start making these people accountable?
I think it's when, the way I see it, sort of like with the Cliff Bleszinski type of thing, is when they attach your name and say, yeah, I'm bringing this, I was behind this, and this is it for the world. You know?
Why would he do that until he has...
He did it with Cuphead. He did it with Cuphead. Because he was like, you know what, I saw what that little studio was doing, and they were struggling, and I said, you know what, we'll take it, we'll fund it, and he kept promoting it. He was their spokesperson.
So he scouted one indie studio that was already.
You can hate him if you want. I'm just saying what he said.
No, and I know, but like, did it occur to you that maybe what he said is
if that game would have sucked, if Cuphead would have sucked, then we could have said, look at him. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's back in these indie studios that are producing crap.
Yeah, but that's a big what if, though. But I think during the course of this conversation, my mind has actually been changed, because I didn't realize how long he's been there. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Because if you think about it like this, and Carlos, you point this out, Xbox One has been mostly run by him, not Don Matrick, right? The lifespan of the Xbox has mostly been under Phil Spencer. And there's been a lot of questionable shit that's been going on. So you know what? Yeah.
He gave us backward compatibility.
Yeah, he did. But where are the games, though, man? Where are the actual games?
Yeah, it's one thing to say. Yeah, that
by the way, before you know, motherfuckers accuse me, yes, I'm changing my mind right the fuck now about Phil Spencer. You know, he's fucking up. I'm sorry. I completely understand, guys. I was baffled before. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Because remember, you got to understand, I'm an old man. Time compresses for me. It's like,
what his question is, I think it's because of some of the things that Phil has said about the single player model and how that he sees in the future, everything is going to be toward the multiplayer. And that's just for the longevity for the teams so they can generate revenue. So I think that's why he brought it up.
No. But it's everything. It's everything.
That single player is pretty much dead.
But it's not just that, though. It's everything. It's the fact that he said that. The fact that, you know, the games just, they haven't been coming. I know you got Cuphead, but that's it. That's all you've gotten. You know.
Well, let's see if they announce anything. And if they don't, then that's it. But his whole issue is trying to find studios.
But you can't. You can't. Go ahead, Brett. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, let me circumvent that whole argument by saying, if you don't have games to back up the games that you're canceling, don't cancel games. There's pretty much nothing worse.
I don't know about that. Because it could be for anything. It could be like that for any project. You could be, let's say you're doing a comic. Let's say you were working on a comic and you're like, yo, this is crap. Should we release this or just push it, wait, and then come out with something better?
Should I release this?
That way everybody knows we produce crap. 5 years?
So, like, that's the question. Like, if he knew that there was nothing coming down the pipe for 5 years, did he really just cut all of that off knowing that?
Well, and according to them, they thought some other stuff was coming in. You got Sea of Thieves, you got Cuphead, you got some other ones that didn't do so great that did come out. You know, they had the Battlegrounds. You know, they were thinking in other directions. Are they getting the big titles that we're used to? No. You know, so they need to figure out studios to develop those.
But did and then he now know you hear what Remedy. Happen,
so who knows? It's all about deals. Working deals. It's money. Look at Remedy. Remedy just came up.
Then he's not doing a good job. If he did know this was going to happen, then he's not doing a good job. That's my point.
So then what? Yeah. You think somebody can do better?
Yes.
Cool.
Anybody, just literally just about anybody at this point. If you know that you're walking into a gaming drought and you perpetuate that gaming drought, then either way you've done fucked up, and 4 years later you have to stop blaming your predecessor.
I don't see that though. I see games coming out. I see it coming out. It's just not what some people would expect.
How many games are you playing on Xbox right now, son? Come on, man. Look,
it's not that. That's what I'm saying. No, but Brett's playing Sea of Thieves and he's enjoying it.
Okay, but Sea of Thieves is not this giant AAA console holding title.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I just
like it. But like
they just need a studio that can produce something like that. They have that one doing it for the Gears of War, and that's it. But the last Gears of War didn't do so great, you know. So then we have Halo, but Halo's still on a hiatus. They're still working on it. It's going to take time. So then they have to come up with something new. But you need a good studio to come up with something new.
Yeah, but it took how long for God of War to come out?
Yeah, four or five years. Yeah,
they didn't have the rights.
No. What I'm saying is you're saying, oh, Halo's on a hiatus. Gears needed its time and to cook up. And I'm like, yeah, but Sony also has these franchises. It took a while to cook up. The Last Guardian came out fucking 15 years after it was announced. It's like all these games, like it's hard to like to just keep mentioning Don Matrick now because it's kind of pointless.
It really is.
Stank really like left the building some time ago now. This is because if you think about it, it's one thing to say, oh, the Xbox One isn't doing as good as it should be because of the horrific launch, but it's another thing to say that Xbox One is not doing well because people openly criticize them for not having enough great exclusive games, and it sucks.
Yeah, but I think when it comes down to that, is it just like what he had said? He had to go out there and just pretty much talk to studios and say, hey, what are you working on?
Yeah, but that was years ago already, bro.
Years ago, exactly. So, in theory, at E3, those games should be announced with release dates. It's like, hey, remember I told you 2 years ago that I was out and I was shopping this and talking to this studio? Well, these are the games I'm bringing you.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, we'll have to see. I'm going to cut this question.
I'm giving benefit of the doubt after this E3. Yeah, if we don't see shit at this E3, then
what up? And I'm just saying that, and I'm just going to say this, Adam. You said the same thing last year.
Oh shit, that is actually all Xbox guys say that too. You did say the same thing. So we got to see what Xbox. You specifically said they got to show something at this E3. You said the same thing last year.
Anything? No.
They didn't show shit. You know, that last year's E3 was so bad. By the end of it, people were like, oh, wait till next E3. At the end of that E3.
Yeah, because we're not realizing this, but we have the same discussion every single year.
Every year. And that's a bad thing. What does that tell you? What does that tell you right there? What does that tell you? The fact that we've been having this conversation for four fucking years lets you know something's going on with Microsoft. And who's running Xbox? Phil Spencer. So I fully understand why everybody keeps asking us this shit.
He's given a promotion, so that he must be doing something right.
No, that's bad.
No. Man, you know this too. Some people could fail their way upwards, you know?
Yeah, it could be that. Or he could be doing something behind the scenes that we're not seeing.
That's what I'm saying. He's got two roles? Come on now.
Here's the thing. Like, I definitely think, you know, I wouldn't say at this point in time to drop it. For one reason, because again, just depending on how the development time, when he decided to actually nix a lot of these projects and then start new ones, it's, you know, I'm gonna quote Adam, we'll see it at E3. What did they have? Because last year their big thing was their
that's what I remember, new console.
Was their new console thing. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what they have to offer. So you know,
every year we have this conversation.
He's been saying, we'll see what's going on, because it's like, you know, one minute he's saying games as a service is the future, and then he's like, yeah, maybe we need to start making AAA games, you know, single player games. It's like,
He announce Crackdown, and then Crackdown, so after that, announced that they were delayed, but that was the big title, right? Because what's his name was in it? The guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Terry Crews.
And they were like,
dude from the Expendables.
And then, that was 20. Came out. When was that? 2014. That was announced.
A while ago. Yeah.
It was a while ago. I mean, when Terry Crews showed up, that was the one.
That was last year.
That was last year.
Remember last.
Few months after that, they canceled it or they pushed it back.
Remember last year they spent a lot of time talking about a car?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, come on. Guys, let's move on, man. We got a bunch of questions here. All right, next up, my man Mebs. So his first question is, what exactly is a quote-unquote next-gen console these days? Hasn't Microsoft already done it with the X? The PS4 compared to the Pro is an incremental step up. However, when you compare the X to the S, it's a significant step up. My understanding is the X could potentially run games the S might have difficulty with. Have we not already gotten Microsoft's next generation console? If not, what exactly is a next generation console from a hardware point of view?
Cue in Brett in 5, 4, 3, 2,
you know?
1.
I mean, they're changing the landscape of that. It's the big fucking question right now that everybody's having. Is Microsoft going by, you know, iterative consoles where it's, you know, a medium jump twice every generation, and the console is able to run the iteration previous to itself, so that anytime that they, you know, quote unquote jump a generation, yeah, your graphics might not be as new as the newest fancy one, but as long as you had the elite version of the old console, then you're quote unquote future proofing it, which would influence people to spend money. So we may not see definitive generations, and we honestly haven't seen definitive generations in a while. Probably a lot of you motherfuckers are too young to remember where that term even came from. One specific generation in which, yes, there was a noticeable difference, but other than that, it's just been incremental improvements since then.
To answer the last part of the question, I guess, basically a next-gen system is a system that can play games the previous console cannot run. That's your next-generation system. That's why the X is not an actual next-gen system, because it plays the same games, you know? And as Vishal said, yes, it's true. It's not a monumental leap. It's an incremental leap, too. The X is more powerful than the S as far as the GPU goes, but CPU-wise, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the guts, it's still the same shit, you know?
I think it's the same GPU. They just overclocked it.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's not that much of a leap either. But yes, next-generation system can play games the previous console could not. That's why the X is not a next-gen system. Go ahead, Carlos.
A good example of that was this generation we got Particle Effects.
Yep.
That was the thing that, you know, the game engines could now, they were strong enough to run Particle Effects and ambient textures and things like that that we couldn't run on the previous day. Like, you didn't see particles of glowy dust floating around in last generation consoles. So, I mean, it's not a huge thing, but there's a minor example.
Yeah, and pretty much like what Tony mentioned, it's all the games that run on the X can run on the S pretty easily. It's just scaled down the resolution, and that's the whole game. So there's parity on the CPU side. On the GPU side, it's just a incremental change. So the way we'll find out if it's a next gen system is, like Tony mentioned, you can't really play the games on one console to the other.
Yeah, right.
And they changed the name.
Yeah, they changed the name too. It has a different name, you know. All right, anybody else want to jump in on this? I think it's pretty straightforward what a next gen system is, you know. All right, yeah, the next question is also about next generation. With current gen games like God of War proving that generation is getting better, do we really need next-gen consoles anytime soon? I think you guys predicted 2019, 2020 for the PS5. Also, the last part of your question, you asked us, what do we want to see in next-gen consoles? We've answered that before, so we're not getting into that. So, yeah, do we really need new systems soon within the next 2 or 3 years?
Speaking of conversations we have periodically, we were talking about this last gen.
Yeah,
Like, do we really need a
next generation with Last of Us?
Yeah, Last of Us, exactly. Yeah, people were saying that. It's very cyclical conversations we have in the gaming community. You know, what do you guys say? Because the thing is, I don't think they could get away with another. Actually, I was gonna say they can't get away with another 7-year console life cycle, but it seems like this generation people are more like open to the idea. Last generation they were sick of it. Some of them were. Some of them were like, fuck it, keep it going 10 years. I don't know.
Last generation, we didn't have, you know, the elite version of consoles. And I think that's helped some people be like, oh yeah, well my games still look great, but the thing they're not understanding is until they upgrade that CPU, you're going to be limited in the innovation with game mechanics that you can have. I've said that before. You know, it's one of these days, probably not for another half decade or so, maybe not this next generation, but the generation after, we'll have a revolution where we kind of moved into voxels, the same way we move from pixels into polygons, we'll move from polygons into voxels. And the inherent technology underlying games will change because voxels require more memory, exponentially more memory, but they allow you to do so much more stuff. You won't have to program destructible environments into games. You can just have destructible environments in games because everything is built essentially out of a world of Legos. It's not all a caged skeleton covered by a skin, which is the kind of games that we play now.
Speaking of our conversations we've had before, we've talked about voxels. You've specifically talked about voxels before, too.
Yeah, in specific reference to this, in that we, you know, a lot of games would like to move to voxels, but they can't because a huge portion of the market is on consoles, and consoles are nowhere near strong enough to run those kinds of engines.
What about the last game from Hearth Marquee? That was voxel-based.
You get things that are the equivalent of indie games. They're about the size of indie games and the scale and scope of indie games, but they're done with voxel stuff. So, you know, Minecraft is a voxel game, and it still crushes consoles. So you can do simple voxel games and use it for cool effects, you know, when things break apart, but you're not really going to be able to take full advantage of it on current hardware or current generation hardware. Even PCs right now, you know, are pushing top-end PCs are basically the starting point of where you can really fully explore those kinds of things. So that's why I say it's still a while out, but I eventually think you'll see kind of that change. And the idea that you can, you know, shoot a rocket and blow off the corner of a mini mart and see, you know, inside, not, and it's not like you hit the door and the door just deconstructs and falls apart in a pre-rendered animation. Like, you actually blow a chunk out of a door, or when you shoot a car, you blow the wheel off a car and it, you know, cuts a jackknife and flips over. Like, those will be the kind of highlight demonstrations that they'll use to really sell it. You know, the next GTA, for instance, with their if they built voxel type automobiles, then you wouldn't necessarily have, oh, you get hit here and so it changes the polygons. It's, oh, if you get hit here and it busts off your back left wheel, it's going to change the physics of your car. And now your car is going to constantly pull to the left and possibly slam into something. And it just creates a more immersive experience. Or, you know, you don't have to program in the idea of, you know, being able to shoot out lights. You just destroy the block that is emitting light, or the object that is emitting light, and light stops coming. Like, so it's, and again, because of the limited access to it, it's not something that has been hugely explored yet. So I think a lot of people aren't going to understand that they're being limited and held back in what their games are, what it's possible for their games to do by their hardware. They're just looking at, well, I mean, I don't see how it can possibly get any shinier than this.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's, the question is, do we really need a new generation so soon? It's like, I mean, the reason why a lot of people say no is because we're kind of ignorant towards what is ahead in the future. So we're not, like, sort of our ignorance towards the progression of video games is what kind of doesn't allow us to see, like, what's in the horizon. Like, if you would have, like, I'll make an analogy. If you would have asked me a couple of months ago, do you need baby metal? And I would have said no. But now I need it. I don't know. I just wanted
to. Yo, did she leave the group? Did the chick?
No, she didn't. She didn't leave. She didn't leave. She's staying. I think she's sick or something. But we're getting off track. But yeah, go ahead, Carlos.
So yeah, like I mean, I think by now I got my money's worth off the PS4. I was going to say Xbox One, but I'm like,
come on, so you didn't get shit. Spend $1,000 on that shit if you think about it. Actually, more than $1,000. Didn't you buy the S2?
Yeah.
And the X?
Yeah, and the 2 terabyte S.
Man.
So yeah, I got my money's worth on the S because I play my Blu-rays there. them exclusives, man. Yeah, so I don't know. I would say yes. simply. Yes.
That we do need another system.
I'm gonna go
with yes too, because think about it. The generation started 2013, it's about to be 2020. Let's start something new already. Come on now. You know, I think, like you said, we're getting a little fucked up because of the iterative consoles. But you have to remember, the generation really started in 2013, you know? So, yeah, bring them on, you know? Like, again, 2020, you know? Not that I'm personally whatever, you know, but that's when I expect it's going to happen, you know? All right, anybody else want to jump in on this next generation? Do we need it now? Do we need it now?
I just want to see armor damage and shit. I want to get cut in the face and see a scar like Fable did, but, you know, but good.
By the way, Tony, the generation didn't start in 2013. The generation started in 2012.
Oh, yeah, the Wii U. That's right. You know? By the way, even though I was, like, raised among Catholics, I don't know how to do the, you know, that shit exactly.
The sign of the cross.
Yeah, the sign of the cross, you know, for the Wii U. You know? All right, man. Moving on here. Master Shake, man. I think that's a new name. So what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? So his first question is, this is kind of bouncing off of what we talked about last week, too, about, you know, systems that had impact on us and shit. So he goes, the PlayStation 1 changed my viewpoint on gaming. Before it, I only played games for the gameplay and mostly with my brothers. After Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy Tactics, Resident Evil 1, Diablo, Grand Theft Auto 2, and Metal Gear Solid 1, I feel like I became a committed gamer. I played games by myself as well as with others, and I started to care about things like music, cinematics, and story in games. How were you affected by the PlayStation 1 as a gamer, or was there another console that affected you deeply as a gamer? I like this question, man. You get a no prize for asking it, you know? Yeah, you guys already know me. The PlayStation 1 did not affect me as a gamer because I was the enemy system. You know, I was a Sega fanboy back then.
Yep,
you know?
He was a total Sega head.
Yeah, so
even the idea of him owning one in that time, in that era.
But what was the equivalent to PlayStation 1? Because, like, I remember specifically being like, I'm not super a huge fan of this, but, like, it is kind of the best thing that's out there right now.
3DO.
No, in that time, Brett, for you, was probably the N64.
You know, TurboGrafx too, but the N64 wasn't a good parallel. Like the PlayStation was a superior machine to the N64, and by that point, Sega was already floundering to the point where it's like, I don't really, yeah, I built the Voltron Tower, and that's not quite living up to what it was supposed to. So,
yeah. Oh, by the way, quick thing here. Thank you, Master Shake, who's in the room right now. He subscribed to us, and he's like, nice, you guys answer my questions. We always answer questions, bro. You know, that's what we do around here. And shout out to Black Metal Gamer for the super chat. But yeah, PlayStation 1 didn't affect me. Although I did, like, I didn't say it at the time, but I was like, fuck, I wish Metal Gear and Final Fantasy VII was mine on Sega Saturn. But
Saturn, that's what you were playing. You
hell fucking yeah.
I didn't pitch in for the Saturn, man. That shit was just too expensive.
Now it was Sega, man. I went into, and the thing is, and for me, you gotta remember, back then I was a big, and man, you know this, I was a big fan of fighting games, right? Capcom fighting games specifically. That system had arcade perfect replicas for the most part, you know, so that was the go-to system. And you know what, even till this day,
saved up enough money for the motherfucker, it was dead.
Well, I don't know how the hell I convinced my mom to buy me that shit. Day one, $500. When I mean day one, I'm talking about June, whenever the fuck they launched. Remember, they launched it prematurely and shit? I got that shit day one. That's how
I used to go to Target to play the display model while I was saving up money. And I very specifically remember, like, I was like, oh, shit, I got the money. I went up there and, like, oh, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, these things are being, like, discontinued in a few weeks. I'm like,
man, that's brutal. And you know what? Till this day, I do not regret that decision, man. Because even looking back at the PlayStation 1's library, yeah, there's some good stuff I want to play. I eventually ended up playing them anyway. I don't regret that. Sega Saturn was the fucking shit, you know? Anyway, go ahead. Actually, I don't know if I answered this man's question or not, but I need to think about this some more. Like, what was the system that really fucked me up? Probably the Dreamcast, to be honest. That showed me like a whole other world of gaming, like Shenmue and other games. Like, I'm like, damn, this is crazy. I remember that was the first system I owned since the SNES. Or I was like, my system looks better than everybody else's shit. You know, because I was a Sega guy. Sega Genesis didn't look as good. Sega Saturn definitely didn't look as good. So for two generations, I was kind of like, where's the good shit? You know, you see all the pretty games on other systems. But when the Dreamcast came out, it shat on everything. You know, But yeah, Dreamcast, just because I don't have any other answer. Manny, go ahead. What system? Actually, what did the PlayStation 1 mean to you? Because you bought it pretty close to launch, I remember.
No, I didn't actually. Really? Waited quite a while. In fact, I didn't have a lot of you and our buddy Mike were the first ones to get like that generation of consoles. I was still rocking the 3DO until they just totally ended it. I was waiting for the M2 to come out, the next generation.
But you know? Oh yeah, but what impact did the PlayStation 1 have on you as a gamer?
I don't know. I mean, it was just seemed like a general progression. I mean, especially since me and Adam were kind of playing 3DO, like we were both playing 3DO at the same time. So it's like we kind of like Adam was the first one to take the leap into PlayStation, and I was still still rocking a 3DO. And I was like, man, and like you betrayer, you betrayed the 3DO. I'm like, but you know what? Eventually, all those games that I really enjoyed for 3DO were released on PlayStation, like Road Rash and Return Fire, which are really fun games that I loved from the 3DO. So, the PlayStation 1, I wouldn't say that it had like a crazy effect on me, but I do have to say that it just seemed like the next transition from the 3DO for me. I feel like the when I was really, you know, like really when I really kind of jumped forward, I feel like it was when we were in the PlayStation 2 era.
Yeah. Okay. What about that system? What impact did it have on you then?
Oh, it was a big impact. There was just so many games that were just like really nice looking games coming forward, and I was just like, wow, this is great. But again, we're also talking about the Dreamcast.
Yeah. Right. Dreamcast.
You know what? I'm going to say the Dreamcast probably had the most impact. Because that was like the first game, like, man, these games are looking like those CGI movies. That was when we were first saying that shit.
Yeah, and also we were like, these games look better than... Actually, that was a fact. It was proven. Those games look better than the arcade games.
Yeah.
Like Soul Calibur, a lot of people don't know this. It was first in arcades, and the Dreamcast version looked way better.
Eventually, they put the Dreamcast version in the arcades. So I would have to go with the Dreamcast that probably made the biggest impact. Though as far as games, I would say the impact for PlayStation was just the fact that a bunch of games that I had really enjoyed had decided to come back from, you know, previous generations. So yeah.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what about you, PlayStation? Did it have an impact on you?
I mean, in so much as you had really the realization of a full audio music and full motion video in some games, whereas Sega CD tried to do it, but it was, you know, looked terrible.
Yeah.
3DO did it and didn't look that good. But emotionally, I was very invested in the Dreamcast because I left Sega after 32X. So I was so pissed. I bought 32X and then Saturn came out and I was really mad. So I abandoned them and then Dreamcast came out. And I was like, oh, baby, you want me back? Okay. And I got a Dreamcast, and I was so happy, and I thought Sega was back, and then fucking played Shenmue and joined it, and then they were out of the market, and I was like, I was so devastated, you know? And I sold my N64 to get a Dreamcast. I'm like, fuck that, I'm back, Sega.
Yes. I'm
back. You know, so emotionally, yeah, I was very invested in Sega. So, and they had great games on the great experiences. And I mean, I didn't even have Sega Channel. Guys who had Sega Channel, they would go nuts, mm-hmm. play Fantasy Star Online, all that shit.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, online.
Yeah, I think I'm going to change the question a little bit. Is there anybody in here where the PlayStation 1 did have a deep like impact on you?
No.
Because that's the general consensus I'm getting here. I'm like, I don't know if it's the PlayStation 1 for us here, you know?
The PS1, I love the PS1 because of the PlayStation Underground CDs.
Oh, shit, bringing it back.
Yeah, because I could only buy like a game or two per year. Like probably more, but not that many. So a lot of the games that I like played a lot was like just those demos for the PlayStation Underground CD because those were free. I got those for free and it came with a whole bunch of demos. So I just remember like I love that part of the dream of the PlayStation 1.
All right. So what was the system that really did it for you?
The Switch. Nah, it was. I don't know. It's like each. I mean, each one has like their certain thing. Like the NES was my first system. It's the first time, sort of, I encountered gaming. So that had a big impact. The SNES was the first one where I had the system to myself and didn't have to fight my brother and sister to play. And it had like amazing games. Like, it's probably the best system to ever come out. And I don't know, like they each have their own thing. There's not one that kind of stands over the other too much, at least for the good ones, the good consoles. So yeah, I can't really answer the question. Like, just, I don't know. Like, they all have their own like specific impact for me.
Interesting. All right, Brian, what about you, man? What system did it for you?
For me, I'd say the PS2, because I never really got like fully into games like until that console came out. Because I, if I remember correctly, I got it with the X-Men 2 game, and I just thought like, wow, like this is like the next step forward. Because prior to that, I only had a PS1 with, I think, Dino Crisis 2 and Tekken 3, and that was it. So being able to have a console with like games that looked like so much better, and also just having like a larger library of games like to access was just like a thing of the just well, just it was just amazing. Because it's also the same platform when I played like a lot of games that I love now, so stuff like GTA San Andreas. Well, I got introduced to GTA back then. Got introduced to Gran Turismo. Got introduced to Tekken properly then. Yeah. PS2 for me.
Nice. All right, Brett, what about you?
I want to say PS1 engaged me pretty thoroughly, because like I said, otherwise I had my N64, and that was, you know, for the most part kiddie games. I want to say I got my, yeah, if I'm thinking right, I got my PlayStation 4 between my, or my, excuse me, my PlayStation 1 before my Dreamcast. So it was really my first experience to adult, you know, narrative driven games. So I would agree with Master Shake pretty much on that one.
Nice. All right, Adam, what about you?
It's got to be my 3DO. That was a game changer at the time. I mean, the fact that I could plug in my headset into my controller and playing Road Rash and hearing, you know, Soundgarden and other popular songs in my game clear, that was crazy. It was the future for me. You know, then later on, yeah, when I got a PlayStation, I was like, everything else, you know, the Dreamcast, it wasn't until the Xbox, the OG Xbox came. Wait, I could put my hard drive in. I can network this. It's got an OS on it. There's DLC. There's an online experience. This is bringing my PC to my consoles. You know, so those are the two big game changers for me. And then the rest is history.
Nice. All right. Let me read some of the comments here. Vishal says it was the PS2 for him. Janice says N64. Interesting. Xskull also says PS2. You know, good stuff. All right, we'll move on here to Master Shake's next question. This is another interesting one. Do you think that the PlayStation 4 will be considered a legendary console, the likes of the NES, SNES, PS1, and PS2, or will it end up being considered a more mediocre or quote-unquote good but not great console? Yeah, I think this whole generation is not going to be remembered too fondly, you know? Not really, like, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just, like, it's not going to be remembered too much. Nothing really big happened this generation. Like, I understand where you're coming from. And, like, yeah, the PlayStation 4 has had a lot of good games. But as a game system, not really doing anything crazy, you know? And it didn't even really get started until last year. Let's just be real. You know? So, yeah, no, it's not going to be remembered as a legendary system. It is not in the pantheon of console gods at all, you know? A great system, but it's not on that level, you know?
Closer to a PS3.
Yeah, even PS3, yeah, man. Like, I think the last quote-unquote legendary console could probably be the, you know, the Xbox 360.
The Wii?
Because, because the Xbox 360, because of what it introduced and stuff. HD, you know, multiplayer shit like that. Perfected them, really. You know, they didn't introduce those, except HD, I think it did. But yeah, PlayStation 4, nah. Does anybody disagree with that?
No.
No.
Hell no.
Yeah. All right.
Yo, but you, we're not exposing our narrative, man. The PS4 is the greatest console to ever come out.
Oh yeah, what? Because we're the Pony Podcast or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
So for all you guys that like, not all of you, just a couple. It's like, oh, it's like you guys are all like biased for Sony and stuff. It's like we're just all of us agree that the PS4 nothing great.
Yeah. No. You know.
I mean, for most of this generation, Carlos has been saying that this is not enough. You know, there's just not enough games. Only now we're getting all the big shit, you know?
Yeah, so we suffered like 3.5 years of a lot of dry periods just to get to this spot.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about how history is going to see this generation. I think it's almost going to be forgotten, to be honest. You know, it's like, oh yeah, that existed. You know, nothing really big. The only big thing that happened was like Nintendo's resurrection. That's about it, you know? But yeah. You could write this shit off, man. You could write
Nintendo's this shit off. Resurrection, Xbox is... well, I'm not even going to say it.
You know. What's the opposite of resurrection? I don't know. I'm trying to make up a word for something that probably exists. All right. Downfall. Let's just go with downfall. Let's just be real. All right. Let's move on here to Black Metal Gamer. All right. So his first question is... This one... Yo, he's trying to get us in trouble, man.
Oh...
But I'm going to just read it as is, and just forgive me if I do not participate, because I'm not trying to get in trouble with anybody.
Okay.
If you could make the worst game ever, what men in gaming would you pick to make it, and what publisher and developer? He's talking about guys like Peter Molyneux and Randy Pitchford. Yeah, I'm going to step out of this one. I'm not answering this fucking question, so I'll let you guys go for it.
Again, repeat that again? I'm a loss for words for a second.
Okay, if you could make the worst game ever, what men in gaming, what developers in gaming would you pick to make the game?
The worst game?
Here's the thing. I'll say this. No developer comes out and says, we're going to make a shitty game. No developer ever says that.
No.
That's why I kind of don't like the premise of this question.
That's a weird one because, I mean, what? Just get the Bible gaming guys and just call it a fucking day.
Okay, you know what? There you go. Whoever makes the Bible games, there you go.
Whoever made those Bible games for Nintendo who just ripped off some other game and did whatever. Yeah, those guys. Just get those guys to make those games because it's like... It,
Yeah, sure. There you go.
The guy who the Five Nights at Freddy's guy before he made Five Nights at Freddy's. Those crazy ass fucking games.
Oh shit. Yeah. So anyway, if you guys want to answer, go ahead. I don't like the spirit of the question. You know.
I mean, Peter Molyneux. The only thing about him is that he's just a lot of talk. I wish I could just you could just turn his mouth off and just have him develop games, but he's already ruined his reputation. Who was the other guy?
Randy Pitchford.
Is that the
he's Borderlands guy?
Does he not make good games?
People don't like him because Alien Colonial Marines. Yeah, people don't like him because of that. And the Duke Nukem game too.
But right? isn't he just the head of that company?
Yes,
he doesn't make fucking games.
Yeah, the guys in the comment section are having fun with this question. At least
he doesn't make any games. That guy, that's the guy who just signs the checks. He says that we're gonna have a new game. maybe I'm missing something.
Like on he just signs the checks.
He signs the checks. Like what? You're gonna have a guy that? You're gonna have a guy who signs checks make games. I don't know. Maybe he did make games for you know I don't have this information offhand, so I don't know what his deal is. But I mean, the only developer that he mentioned in that whole little thing is Peter Molyneux.
Kristen came up with a good one. The guys that make acid flip games on Steam. Bam! There you go. You know.
There's a lot of crap out there. Just take your pick. You know,
I'm trying to
people who make games way worse than Colonial Marines.
I was trying to think about something like, how can I be creative with this? And I thought about this. I don't know if hopefully it makes sense. It's like, what if Miyamoto makes a Xbox One exclusive multiplayer game, It's like wow. Is there even a track record for Miyamoto saying that this is going to be a good game?
Wow. My mind can't even process that one, bro.
Like, yeah, like how would that even work? Because
this exactly.
Is, yeah. essentially giving somebody the job who doesn't do those sorts of games at all.
Yeah.
Like essentially saying, I don't know, let's see, who no, this is too close. And I guess, you know, whoever makes like sports games making like a something else.
Yeah, the Madden guys in charge of the next Last of Us.
The people that make the horrible rugby games. Oh god.
Oh, the people who make the horrible rugby
games. Yeah, man. Give it back to EA. I don't get it. Remember that EA rugby game that we used to play at your house?
Yeah.
They showed all the blood on their face and shit. That was awesome.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Anybody else wanna go for this? I'm gonna take that as a no. So we'll move on here, man, to next question. This is a
God damn it, maybe this is his name. Inafune making a Mega Man game. All right.
Son. All right. And EA is gonna publish it with microtransactions. All right. Next question. This is like a more like focused version of a question we've gotten before. If Sony Santa Monica could obtain another company's IP, what game would you like them to make?
Story-based version of Road Rash.
No shit. There you go.
That'd be badass.
I thought, since you had the answer like really quick, Adam, I thought I put like all my chips on table tennis.
No, Rockstar hit tips, man. They did a great job. They just need to bring it back.
I was gonna just say have Santa Monica take on Tomb Raider because
oh shit. Actually, I was gonna say something really crazy. Have Santa Monica do an Uncharted game. How crazy would that be? You know,
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, it would be it. I mean, it would, if you think about it, it would kind of be like the last. The DLC the DLC Uncharted game they did, where they kind of did a semi open worldish section to that.
Yeah.
Give them Scalebound because they already had a scene where they had to take out a dragon. So you got a war.
By the way, my real answer is Prince of Persia because we haven't seen that fucking franchise in a while. Mm-hmm. So let them handle it. That'd be amazing. You know, come on, guys. It's good with it. I'm going to go down the line here, Chris.
I got distracted by the answers and I forgot the original question.
What IP? I'm trying to just make it short. What IP do you want Sony Santa Monica to work on that they don't already own? It could be another.
Tony, you modified. You changed the question slightly.
Did I? Let me just read the fucking thing. If Sony Santa Monica could obtain another company's IP, what game would you like them to do?
Okay. So my answer was going to be an actual God of War game.
Oh.
I actually would like to see like how far you can go with a God of War type game like in this generation, because we haven't really got many like hack and slash games like that. The closest thing we have are the Bayonetta games, which are locked down to Switch. So it was kind of like it'd be nice to see like what they can do with it. Because again, there's just nothing.
I had a different answer. I was gonna say if they would do like. Wrestle Alone in the Dark away from Atari.
Oh, interesting.
You know, a different direction, like a horror direction. Not that they couldn't have action and stuff like they have in here in God of War and stuff, but put in a modern setting with all the horror elements in it.
Oh, Chris, you just made me think of Dead Space.
Right. You know?
Have them do Dead Space.
Keep the freaking camera, man. That's the same shit.
Yeah. Right. Hey, man.
Carlos's answer is better.
Yeah, Dead Space. Manny, you'll like Skull's answer. He guys give him Metal Gear Solid.
No, I wouldn't give it to him.
You wouldn't?
Nah, I wouldn't give it to him. I would actually pick a different studio. I would actually think.
You mean Kojima Productions?
No, I don't need Kojima to have another Metal Gear game. And I'm sure he would be like, fuck that shit. I'm doing my own stuff. So I would say I would actually would go with Sucker Punch.
Interesting.
Infamous guys, because I feel like in general, like Metal Gear needs to get a little bit more. You know, we still have the stealth stuff, but I feel like they need a little bit more verticality. And, you know, even if we start off with a new character, we just get, you know, you just get a character that can do more things rather than just kind of hide behind walls and stuff.
All right, Adam.
Oh, I said mine.
Okay, Brett. Rash. Yeah, Brett, are you good now?
Mass Effect. Just take Mass Effect away.
I would go with Mass Effect.
Mass Effect is good.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Now, where everybody's in on Santa Monica's, on them now because they made this new God of War game. But really, it was one guy that really pushed to change God of War, and that's Cory Barlog. And in fact, if you ever seen any interviews with him, he had to fight a lot to get what he wanted out of that game. People telling him.
So make the Mass Effect game be directed by Cory Barlog.
Yeah. There you go. By the way, Chris, I'm surprised you didn't say the obvious one.
which one was that?
Castlevania, man.
Oh, I thought somebody said it.
Yeah. Nope.
I could have sworn somebody said it. That would be great. I could have sworn somebody said it.
Yeah, no, it was one of Black Gamer's things.
It was in a question.
Yeah, because he wants Star Wars or Castlevania, but none of us said it.
I would also say, the reason why I said Tomb Raider is also because Cory Barlog was part of the team that reinvented Tomb Raider too.
Ah.
So just saying.
Oh man, he got the juice.
He got the juice. He's good at looking at it a little bit differently.
When you got the glow, you feel it.
You know? All right, man. I think everybody went, right?
Yeah.
All right. Move on here. This is not a question. It's just a comment, but it is related to the next question. So this is from our boy, John Erdahl. He goes, Cliffy B announced that he's taking a break from game development and his studio Boss Key Production is shut down. I blame you guys.
Oh, no.
You blame us.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Well, remember, he originally retired.
No, because the thing is, remember, we were asked this question last. We were asked something similar last week, right? And we said, actually, we were asked, who needs to retire? And we all of us said, Cliffy B needs to retire. And then literally 2 days later, bam, this happens.
Oh.
The thing is that for some reason, he is not able to capture another bit of lightning in the bottle. Maybe he's just not. I don't want to say that he's not good for, to make anything else. But what is he doing? Like, why are you making things that already exist, like your version of things that already exist on the market, dude?
Yeah.
Did you see the list of games that he announced that he was working on that he couldn't get funding? And one of them was like a tubing revamp. Remember Tubing USA?
Oh my god! Yeah, he
put it in VR. What? Yeah, put it in VR. He talked about it. He needed $13 million or something like that for it.
What?
Why?
Yeah, he released
$13 million to make a tubing game
for VR. He released a whole list. He was like, "Hey, this is a full list of stuff that we didn't get done, but this is stuff that we wanted to get funding for." And then that was one of them that stood out.
So what was it? So come on, a tubing game?
Yeah, it's stupid. Anyway, let's get to the actual question, which is still about Cliffy B and Boss Key. From Life and Times Games, Wiz, what was his other name? Carlos? This guy had a million names.
Willie Robinson.
Willie Robinson. All right. So his question is, after the failure of Boss Key, looking back, what could Cliffy B have done differently? Manny, I think you said it. Make a game that was a derivative of something else.
Yeah, making a game that isn't
making two games that weren't derivatives.
Instead, and also starting a little smaller. Not make a side scroller or anything like that.
Calling all cars.
No, not even like calling all cars, because calling all cars is like it's like, okay, you made a phone game. Come on. You made like a handheld game. That game should have been on the PlayStation Portable or Vita, not on a PlayStation 3. But I would say, maybe he should have started a little smaller instead of trying to make these crazy kind of multiplayer experiences, instead of trying to make fucking Overwatch or whatever the hell, or PUBG with the Battle Royale thing. Maybe just try to do a more of a closed off sort of game with a beginning, middle, and end. But maybe he doesn't want to deal with the idea of having to deal with storyline. And maybe he just wants to make games that just concentrate on gameplay, kind of like his Unreal days. I don't know.
Yeah, could be, you know, but yeah.
But why, but out of all things, why was it, was that first game supposed to be like a revamp on Unreal or some shit?
I don't know, man. It just seemed like it was right.
It was supposed to be, it was supposed to be like Overwatch, right?
Something, yeah, something like that. Not exactly, but kind of, you know what I mean? Go ahead, Brian.
So, he just mentioned that it, like, it's going to be like the adult version of like these team hero shooters. Like he's seen them as like the PG-13 of games, so he wanted like to be like the rated R version. AKA, he wanted to be like the extreme dude of those types of games, which is a downfall.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about Cliffy B. Again, I don't have anything against the guy, but yeah, that whole extreme shit, that's over, bro. That shit is done.
I think, listen, I could see, here's the thing, like, I could see Cliffy B making a, you know, you're talking about extreme. I mean, what do you call fucking Doom? That is a pretty much.
Yeah, that is a clue, but it is marketed, right there, pretty much
a Cliffy B game.
It is, but it isn't marketed as one. Understand? That's the thing. No. Like, the developers are not there going, "Yeah, you want to play the craziest game ever? Play Doom." You know what I'm saying? I know that,
but I feel like he could have done something that was you know, people just love Bulletstorm. People love these sorts of games. So like, why not just do those sorts of games?
Yeah, and I agree. He could have done a I'm going to make up a word now, a testosterone-y type of game. But, yeah. You know, but again, don't be derivative of other shit. And by the way, Brian, very interesting that you said that he wanted to make a adult version of a hero shooting game. And Brian, I don't know, you must have been there when Torrance and I were having that big argument. Because Torrance was getting mad at me because I said that the last game he made was ripping off Overwatch. No, it wasn't. Who was ripping off of this shit? Well, Cliffy B just admitted it. There you go.
Yeah, so he wanted to make his own version of Overwatch, which I feel like, you know, the part of the charm that works with Overwatch is the characters. You look at that game and it just looks like generic guys and gal characters. That's it. You know, each of the Overwatch characters has their own kind of unique, kind of cool looking look. And that's the attraction of it. To be honest, they have just brilliant fucking character design. Even that other one, the one that failed when it went against it, had pretty decent good design. It just wasn't able to pull it off. What was the other one that got announced before Overwatch?
I know what you mean. The one by both guys.
We all forgot the name of this game.
It was Battleborn.
Yeah, like that one also had potential because it had some pretty cool looking characters. But wasn't it the gameplay or something that was killing it?
No,
or,
Overwatch killed it.
Overwatch killed it.
There was already a version of that type of game out that was better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what do you guys think Cliffy B could have done differently with Boss Key?
Oh, go back to Formula Man. Buy back the rights to your old characters. Like Brian said, it's not enough hack and slash. It's not enough. Older stuff, there's stuff coming back. So instead of trying to copy, like, oh, Battle Royale is hot, Team Shooter is hot, whatever, go buy back the rights to Jazz Jackrabbit you created and make a Ratchet and Clank type game out of him.
Yeah.
Why not do that?
Yeah, or like, yeah, like if he wants to stay with that extreme shit, right? Make Jazz Jackrabbit a fucking super violent video game.
Yeah, a hack and slash game.
Yeah. Well, no, Jazz Jackrabbit had a gun. Right.
So
he could have made essentially the, you know, well, not Ratchet and Clank. Well, you know, like, yeah, Ratchet. You could have made Ratchet and Clank meets Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Oh shit! Meet.
Oh god, I love Conker's.
Yeah. So yeah. There you go. He could have done that. Yeah. Meets fucking Doom. You know, like, yeah, it could have been crazy.
Yeah, he could have done something like just, you know, like some really awesome badass animations, him killing off characters and stuff like that. That would be cool.
Yeah. Right.
Give anybody him a else? Couple one-liners.
Yeah. Anybody else? What do you think he should have done differently? I guess nobody else had ideas.
For a long time, he was retired and just posting up pictures of his new wife. And
by the way, I love how everybody answered that at the same fucking time. I just had to throw that out there.
You know, it's like he was living the life. He was like, I have no reason to ever get back in a game. He's like, I'm rich. Yeah. You know, and that was his thing. He was always posting. And then all of a sudden he said, you know what? I'm bored. And then he got back into gaming, game development. And now he's back out of it.
Yeah.
Because his wife, she's a programmer.
Yeah, and he even admitted that he thought he was going to be an instant success based on his name. He said this.
Yeah, and that's where you can't ever think that sort of thing. I'm sorry, like, you know, everybody can fall. You know, it doesn't matter who the hell you are. You have to have a decent idea and out the gate for people. Nobody, you know, is because essentially, yeah, maybe somebody might be looking at your, you know, at your reputation. But I mean, also, I feel like ever since he kind of pulled away from games before where he supposedly retired, right? I think that his name kind of just got lost. He wasn't that thing. If he had kept the momentum, like, well, you know, just use Kojima as an example. He kept the momentum when he went over from the thing. He literally just stopped, you know, he stopped at Konami. Maybe a few months, you know, a month or a year later, he automatically has a studio. So I feel like he needed to catch that flight while it was still in the air.
Yeah. Brett, what were you saying?
Oh, he could have done this earlier.
Also, yeah, because his name's been like out of the Manny, the zeitgeist.
Yeah, he's been out of the zeitgeist. Yeah. So yeah. I also feel like the same thing that happened with the original director of God of War.
Yeah, Jaffe. Yeah.
Jaffe, to be honest, Jaffe should have taken on God of War too. He shouldn't have just dropped everything and then made some other crazy studio. I mean, granted, he was the executive producer on God of War.
Yeah, too. He was. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I feel like at that point he already kind of got lost in the mix.
Yeah, and then he did Eat, Sleep, Play. That didn't really go anywhere.
You know?
All right, man. Let's move on here. Next question. All right, with Nintendo and PlayStation taking turns dominating the sales charts as well as big game releases, does the Xbox One have a chance to come back with its own bangers, or will it eventually lose the Switch? Yeah, we've talked about this before. It's over. This generation is done for Xbox. It's done.
It's dead the waters.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't own an Xbox. I think, and I don't. I still think that they might pull something. Not gonna win it, but something.
They may pull something, but it's not gonna help them win the generation. And I still say the Switch is gonna outsell this thing next year.
You know? Yeah, it's too late in the generation for them to revamp. They played their big booster card with the Scorpio Edition 1X.
Yeah.
So no, they've played their big endgame card, and now it's just they may have a couple killer games, but you're gonna get hard to get. It's gonna be hard to convince people to invest in the system now.
Yeah, that's it right there. You know, that says it all.
Yeah, all right. I think the culmination of the things we mentioned earlier in the show kind of answers this question also.
Yeah, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. You know,
well, it doesn't mean they're done as a brand just for this generation, though.
This generation, exactly.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah. Because you know some motherfucker is going to get it twisted. Oh, you think Xbox is done? No. Xbox One, that shit is dead. Xbox
their brand. Their best move is to now start hoarding their nuts and come out really strong. At the beginning of next generation.
Yes.
Strong like my arm.
All right. Next
Nickel
up,
portable
guy, the guy with my favorite name, Spacey Semen Crusted Kimono. All right. What are some of the most ridiculous quotes or statements from Microsoft? Because we could list other companies too, but let's focus on Microsoft. Let's have fun with this one.
Games lineup ever.
The best games lineup ever. Single player games don't have impact. If you can't play the Xbox One online, we have another system for you. It's called the Xbox 360.
Console launch exclusive.
Yeah,
the Kinect was going to be the future. Kinect was just going to be around forever, which is why they invested so much and decided to bring it and package it back.
We got another X1. One.
Skittles.
Oh, God. Right. What else?
You have to take a second job to.
Let's just skip around that.
Hey, he said others.
That's a ridiculous one. I wanted to get the Microsoft ones out of the way first before we get talking with the others. What happened?
What else have they said that's been like really dumb?
Oh, yeah. That canceling Scalebound was better for gamers.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Also, here's a regular system. I mean, our gamers have X amount of engagement on Xbox Live.
Yeah.
And I've just run out of ideas.
Go ahead. Every other word that came out of Dom Antrick's mouth.
You know, TV, sports.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but yeah, let's get into some other companies. Like Manny said, that's the big one right there. You know, get a second job.
Get a second job. You know, people, fans will have to want to get a second job to get a PlayStation 3.
Greatness awaits.
Great. Oh.
Greatness awaits.
Yeah, I waited a long time, man.
They never said greatness arrives, so technically they're not wrong.
Yeah, you're still waiting.
So they're still waiting on the Messiah to come through at the end.
You say the PlayStation is like Jews? That's hilarious. By the way, Janice79 says, quote, this is the best E3 ever, Phil Spencer, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018. Damn.
We have to expect from any developer. They have to say this is the best.
Yeah, they're going to hype up the board. For
movies, this is the best superhero movie ever.
Joey Williams, that's Nintendo, right? You are the controller. That's got to be for the Wii. Oh, no, that's the Kinect. That's right.
That's the Kinect. You are the controller.
Oh, my God. Horrible.
They've got a track record, don't they?
Yeah, they really do, man, as we've highlighted. Shout out to Dana in the chat. She goes, Xbox has been created by gamers for gamers. I think every company says that shit, too.
Yeah, that's just...
We're doing this.
Even Sony used that one.
Yeah, that's right. For the players. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. For the players. I remember that. That was a fun hashtag.
Yeah, exactly. Hashtag. Hashtag for the players.
Wasn't it building the list? Wasn't that also an Xbox one as well?
I don't know. Manny, what about your favorite? It's thinking. Oh, man. All right. Go ahead.
I guess my favorite is get ready for 1080 60. Like, I'm still getting ready.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Where is it? Oh, that's right.
I'm still waiting. Like, PS4 Pro's out. I'm still waiting. Like, hey, it's not me. I'm just holding up to their claims.
Yep. Oh, damn. Master Shake says Albert Pinello. Words. Damn.
Oh, I got another one. I forgot about it. How did it go?
Better with Kinect. Yo, the guys in the chat are brutal, damn, man. You guys don't forget.
What was the one that was in the band commercial? They had a catchphrase for the band commercial where the guy gets shot out of a rocket or something, and he's flying through the air. The baby gives birth. He goes flying out the window, flying in the air. He starts
like life key aging,
something like that. And then he was old, and he landed right in a grave.
Oh shit! I remember that.
Yeah, and it was a game. There was some kind of catchphrase right at the end of that. For life or something. Let me find that.
I remember, and I'm going to paraphrase. Well, the Pro can technically do 14 teraflops.
By the way, wasn't Better with Kinect also like one of our goofy throwdown titles? What's going on, the truth? Yeah. Oh, man. All right. We'll move on here. What the fuck are we? Okay, second question. What are some... This is interesting. What are some... quote unquote binge games you've played, basically meaning games you put full time into with no breaks to play other games. Bro, that's all I do.
When life is short, play more. That's it.
Yeah, life is okay, there you go. When I play a game, I play that shit from beginning to end nonstop. I don't play any other games. Here's the thing. Games have different mechanics, so it kind of fucks me up a little bit. I can play like different types of games and stuff, but for the most part, I like to concentrate on one game at a time. That's probably why I can't clear my backlog fast enough, you know. But yeah, pretty much every game I played is a binge game, you know.
Yo, man, because you're reviewing.
Well, nowadays, that's the other thing about like. I mean, I was always like that even back in the day, but now I really step it up.
You do that with your music. Remember, we talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
You stick to one thing at a time. That's it.
Yep. I'm going to tell you something afterwards because I don't think people could relate to my craziness, but I do that with everything. Basically, I mean, I just binge the fuck out of it, you know?
Except anime.
There was a time when I did do that, you know? When I get back into anime, you best believe I will, you know? But even then, with anime, I can't binge one show at a time. It has to be like a bunch of shows at the same time, you know what I mean? Carlos, you would have been proud of me 4 years ago. I used to watch like 6 episodes of an anime a day, you know?
Damn, like where's that Tony, man? I need that Tony.
Yeah, well, that Tony is busy with other shit now, you know? Manny, what was the, binge games?
Binge games. I did manage to beat Uncharted and Brutal Legend around the same time. Uncharted 2, I think.
Yeah.
Uncharted 2 and Brutal Legend. And then Uncharted 3 and Journey.
And also every Metal Gear game.
I guess so. Come on. Here's the way I play games. Like this is like, you know, Tony always destroys a game like in a short amount of time for me. I call it playing for keeps. So I essentially get every single thing in the game while I'm in one foul swoop, and that's how I do it.
The best example for me for this is I beat Mass Effect 2 the day it came out, or within 24 hours.
Damn!
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I remember that shit came out. I fucking started playing that shit, and I stopped only for like bathroom breaks and food, and that's it. I literally didn't do anything else till I beat it.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
But I don't think I've done it for any other game.
I've done that with some BioWare games where it's just like for 2 or 3 days straight, it's just like I'm only stopping to, you know, fulfill my bodily functions, you know?
Yeah.
I can only do that for so long, you know?
Yeah, I don't think I can do that now.
It depends on the game, though, because if the game is so good, so enthralling, you just keep on doing it. You know, I can't do that with every game. There's some games I'm like, I can't play this shit for more than like 20, 40 minutes at a time. But there's other shit where you just, like, especially the narrative games, you just hooked in there, you know? And if they have, like, you know, open world, you know, games with collectibles, forget about it, man. I'm there all fucking day, you know? Anyway, Chris, binge games.
I remember specifically Mass Effect 2. I'd say not the first one, but the last two, 2 and 3, I did that. Far Cry 4, I was playing like nonstop. GTA 5.
I was about to say that, you know.
Yeah. Resident Evil 7, I was playing that like religiously. That's how I platinumed it twice, you know. So yeah, those are the ones in recent memory that I binge.
Yep. Ryan, I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer.
Get out of here. Everybody here knows the answer. But I'm going to let you say it.
Okay. Tony, I honestly don't know what you're getting at here. And I'm being serious now. I'm not trying to like be funny.
The game that you have like 8,000 hours logged in?
Oh, okay. I'm not counting that because like, that's like over time. I was thinking of like more Need for Speed Most Wanted. Like I played that shit like 17 different times.
Damn.
You know, like I just cannot stop playing that game. It's just, and I'm talking about the original one, not the remake.
Yeah, the real one. You know.
Yeah. I guess Burnout Paradise as well. Like I just could not stop playing that game, and for the most part, I've only stopped playing it because I've got other stuff to get done. So.
You had life things.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Brett.
Fuck, I was engaged in the conversation. What was the original question now?
What game have you binged on in your life?
Oh, that's right. Pretty much most survival games I tend to binge a bit more, or sandbox games tend to binge a bit more, which sounds a little counterintuitive because I tend to not get bored because I don't ever run out of stuff to do. And Tony, I'm sure, would be the first person to be like, well, that's because you don't have anything to do. But no, there's always something to do. Like, oh my God, Ark ate Rachel Nye's face. Just because there was always more stone to be gathered, always another wing to be built onto the manor, always a dinosaur to fight, always a clan member to fuck up, always a new place to scout out. There's just always something to do. And I'm finding myself being sucked into the same thing with Conan. Like, yeah, sure, I went around, kill some people, do some of these quests, but like I keep getting sidetracked for my quest because I want to build a temple or I want to add to my loft space or shit, I want some iron armor or some iron weapons. So now I want to build a blacksmith table. So it just continually grows. So most survival games catch me hard. But other than that, I'm kind of with Tony where I tend to play one game at a time anyway. So every game, but I particularly binge survival games because, you know, when I'm playing God of War, shit's not really going anywhere. I can take a break, you know, eat, watch a movie, that kind of thing. When I'm playing things like Conan, I'm like, eh, I can, I don't have to watch the other half of this Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball Super right now. I want to get in and collect some stone. Like it just hooks me and drags me in.
Nice. All right, and Adam.
Oh man, well, you know, The Division. I kept binging with that and with Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon, and for just a regular game, it was the Uncharted Nathan Drake collection. I did 1, 2, and 3 all in one play. Like, just throughout the week, that's all I played, just 1, 2, and 3 of those remasters. And, yeah, that's it. I mean, right now, I was binging God of War, and now that's done, so I can go back to The Division. So,
you mean you got that platinum?
No. But I know that it's there, though, the collectible. With The Division, I need multiplayer stuff, so I need people that are still online playing it. To jump in on that,
catch that wave, man.
Yeah, catch it while they're still there before the new one drops.
Yeah. By the way, completely off topic, Dana, I don't know if you're looking at the screen right here, but you can see a mighty nerd who is your admirer asking you questions.
I told her that. I was like, yo, this is guy who's always asking. She was like, no guy does that. No guy.
Yeah. Well, there he goes, right, literally right there on the screen right now. Which hand is it? This one. Damn it. No, this one. There he is. He's right there. Mighty nerd, man. I don't think she gives out her PSN ID, bro. Chill out. You crazy, man. He's always asking for her, you know. All right, so I think that's gonna wrap it up for us, man. So we will see you next time. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a questions in the comment section of this episode here on YouTube or over on the Coalition. We'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown a Show. Links are located in the description below.
Once they're rhymed.
Damn right. It rhymes every fucking week.
I just noticed it.
It rhymes. It's been rhyming for 184 episodes. All right. So once again, our show is Tony Polanco. Tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
Holy crap, I was actually playing a game today. A game! What is up with that? Yes.
Chris Seeley. Oh,
hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Laters.
Brett Murdoch.
As always, it's been real, party people.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
Life lessons. Do not steal people's artwork on Twitter. It's not cool.
You know, and don't steal motherfuckers' art on Reddit either, motherfuckers. We'll see y'all next time.
It was we'll just that one time.
You know? Other than that, how was the royal wedding?
Yeah. I did watch some of that.
Are you okay, baby? We'll talk to you guys later on, please.
What happened over the weekend? I don't know what you guys are talking about.